Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain.
My nickname is Gloom.
And inform you in the afternoon.
People who like licorice really like licorice.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Yeah, hey, Felger. Real quick, before I even get into it, when you used to have Neely on, I thought that that was riveting stuff. And if you guys ever get him back, I think that would be phenomenal.
But, hey, tell him that.
Oh, so it was him. Anyways, my point with the Pats is that in no shape or form are they going to carry three QBs next year, whether it's Manziel, Hoyer, draft pick, Brady, all that stuff. And at every single turn, it seems like Brady and Belichick are trying to give them each other a whiff of each other. And with that being said, if Belichick was to draft a QB, you kind of give Brady an out to say, well, I'm done because the next guy's ready to go, whether Brady wants it to be next year or 4 years. By him having said that he wants to play till he's in his mid-40s, we, the fan base, recognize that, look, you're going to have to play till your mid-40s, so he's not going to spend that draft capital because he's going to force Brady to play out what he said to, you know,
Tom,
to us fans.
Why don't you think they carry three quarterbacks? They do it all the time.
Well, they carried Brissett because, obviously, they saw the value in him, Parcells, all that stuff, that they, you know, thought that he was a good player, so they kept him. But in the years past before that, they didn't keep three QBs. They only kept two.
It varies. But when they drafted Brady, they carried four. They had four Brady's rookie years: John Fries, Michael Bishop, Tom Brady, Drew Bledsoe. So Bill's carried four, he's carried three, he's carried two. Don't worry about that. If they draft a quarterback this year, they'll have three. It'd be stupid. Well, unless the rookie's ready. Like, I'm not going to say it's stupid, but Hoyer to me feels like a good backup option. You have him on a two-year deal. It's Hoyer and the rookie. I mean, I'd be surprised if they don't have three quarterbacks this year.
I mean, to me, I'm assuming they're having three at this stage. And you can say they carried Brissett because of the Brady suspension if you want. Like, they needed a backup.
They spent a third-round pick on him. You're not going to – you're carrying that guy.
Okay, so that's my feeling, too, that they actually – you know, they drafted another guy because they wanted a third quarterback for whatever reason. And, you know, to me, three's not crazy.
Okay.
As opposed to what? Another gunner?
That first thing he was talking about, though, that, you know, you don't draft a quarterback, so you put more pressure on Brady to stay. We don't have anyone else, Tom. You have to keep playing. I don't want to hear that. You don't have to apply any pressure to him. He said he wanted to play to 45. He said he had all the answers. He said he is not even close to being ready to retire. So you traded the kid. You're on the hook, Tom and G. There is no going back on that. So I don't care who they draft or what they do. Brady said he wanted to play to 45, and then he's going to retire at 41? Garbage. No, you're in, buddy. You're not going anywhere.
I just don't know how he'd be able to look at Robert Kraft in the face if it came to – if he walked – He just leaves Kraft there holding the bag. Like, where does he go with that one?
We got Tom in the car on the Manziel thing. You want him, Tom?
Hey, guys. Great show. Personally, I think Manziel is an absolute tool. And if they bring him on, I'm going to trade him my shirt jersey for a Browns jersey. Have a great day, guys.
Okay. He is a polarizing figure. There's no question about it.
That's drastic. You'll be there. You might not like him, and you wouldn't buy the jersey, but you'll still watch the team. No one's going to go away because they signed Johnny Manziel.
Do you guys like him?
No.
To the college point, he is a toolbox.
Oh, no. And I'll tell you what, take all the personal problems out of it, you know, the alcohol and the drug, whatever. Just the finger thing with the money, I think, makes him look like a tool bag.
Of course he is.
On draft night. Like
draft night? He did it. That was his thing in between every play.
Well, no, and I remember.
He did it at A&M. He did it at Cleveland.
So it just struck me, though, that he did it when he got announced at the draft.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It just felt like the worst possible moment to do it. Like, you're on national TV there. You just got picked for the NFL, and you're rubbing your fingers together. You tool bag. Like, what a loser.
I don't know. I kind of like him. But that's mostly because of the play in the field. And I'm going, obviously, back to when he was in college. But he was a blast to watch.
But I do think there's a chance that when guys like him get dealt a serious dose of humility, that all of a sudden they recognize people aren't putting up with their bullcrap anymore. And do I think he's salvageable? Probably not. Who, you know, but it's worth a shot.
Chris and Rockland on the helmet-to-helmet rule. Hi, Chris.
Hey, how you doing, guys? I'm going to ask you were called a hypocrite earlier. I guess I'm going to see if I'm a hypocrite. I like the helmet-to-helmet rule, and for this reason, before Jimmy jumps out of his skin, just let me get this off. You know, if this is taught at an early age, you know, through high school, into college, any one less concussion any guy gets is good for his career. But now, on the other hand, I watch the game for these collisions as well. But it's not just the collisions. I watch it for the good football game, for the good play. It's like, you know, I watch that for that. I watch bull riding to see a guy get killed. So I guess my question is am I a hypocrite?
Yeah, we all are. I mean, you are if you're like worried about the safety of the player. Like, I don't carry on about the safety of the player and the concussion problem. Like, nope, I want these guys bashing their brains in. I want them educated and to make their own choice. And if you can walk away, great, you can walk away. But if you decide to play football, you're going to get your head beat in. And it's going to hurt you long term.
Yeah, players and viewers know about the occupational hazards of the NFL.
And if you don't want to do football. It, you know, I mean, if you don't want to do that, you don't want to risk that, then don't risk that. Great, all the respect in the world. But if you do risk it, I mean, I have sympathy for you. I don't want you to be hurt. But it's like, you know the dangers by playing that. No one's putting a gun to your head and saying, play the sport. No one's putting a gun to your head and say, smoke that cigarette. It's the same. It's sort of the same principle. The head-to-head thing, I'm okay with the rule, Murray. Like if you can take out gratuitous headshots, I'm with the caller. Take them out. Great. I just don't want it done in-game by a ref who can't see it in real time or a replay official who's going to take 20 minutes figuring out whether he lowered the crown of his helmet or whatnot. Look at it during the week and find the guys in the middle of the week and take care of it that way. That's how I would do it.
I mean, I got to see how this goes. Because like in hockey, if you tell me you take the headshots out, I still think there's enough body contact. And I told you, I love watching the Bruins play now. The pace of it, off the charts. And there's still enough physicality where no, like I don't miss the hitting as much as I thought I would. In football, how do you play it without putting your head down?
And that's the thing. We'll have to wait to see it. But the way it's written right now, I immediately had this knee-jerk reaction of, okay, you're going to continue to bastardize the game and turn it into something it's not. So what are you telling me? Like, the guys have to tackle standing up? You can't put your head down if you're going to try to pick up 4th-and-1 or 3rd-and-1 as a running back? Like, it just sounds like they're fundamentally trying to change the game, like they have been ever since Goodell took over as commissioner.
Got a few callers on Maz's Yankee love. Mike in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Mike.
Gentlemen, thank you for taking my call. I'm a Sox fan, but Maz, guys, the pitch that Stanton got was inside and low below the knee, and he put it out like a wiffle bat.
Don't encourage Maz.
Mike in Cranston, he's special, okay? He's special. He's that kind of player. Look, I told you.
We don't have the monitor up, but if Vinny's rolling the video, what you're watching is, if Vin puts it up, is I'm reading a commercial, and Maz is watching the Yankee game on his iPad in between the breaks. Again, I'm reading a commercial.
Top of the first in Toronto.
You and started shaking in your seat like a child about to get his first ice cream.
And Maz loses his mind, basically, when Stanton hits this home run. And so we're showing that on NBC Sports Boston. Have we tweeted it out and everything?
If someone can get me the raw video, I don't know if Jimmy's already put it up. But
yeah, I don't see it yet either. But for Murray, Murray, for me, that was Christmas. That's what that was. I'm telling you, this is the guy they should have gotten. So I'm sorry. This is me take gloating. Okay, that's what that is. This guy is a game changer. He is an absolute game changer who can hit the ball out of any ballpark on any pitch. That's what they needed. The Yankees got him. Maybe J.D. Martinez will be the same thing. I don't know, but we'll see how it goes.
Sean in the car, your thoughts.
Hey, guys. I think that Maz is just excited because the Chinese space station is going to crash into Toronto, and Giancarlo Stanton is just going to bounce that station off his abs. Thanks.
Yeah, have you taken a good look at the guy?
Oh yeah, sure.
I mean, he is the statue of David in actual human form. The guy is chiseled from a block of marble. He's absolutely, I'm telling you, that body. Oh, my God, please! I gotta get a Giancarlo Stanton fathead and put it up.
Brian
in
Salem, go ahead, Brian. What do you got?
Hey, Mike. Hey, how's it going? Good. So yesterday, you guys made a few comments about Johnny Manziel and his addictive behavior. And it made me realize how much real estate you guys own across the street. I'm not kidding. 35 seconds later, Chris Curtis, their executive producer, tweeted out one of your quotes, and then they ran with it this morning. I mean, it is absolutely pathetic how much you guys kill the guys across the street.
Okay. I have nothing to add to that. We've got Sean in South Boston on Johnny Manziel. You want him, Sean?
I guess it depends. You know, Nesson had an article that came out a couple days ago. I haven't heard anyone mention it yet, but all of his combine numbers, nearly identical to Welker, Amendola, Edelman, you know, the three cone drill, all that nonsense. So I don't
You're
know
saying
if they're thinking about maybe bringing him as receiver.
Oh, stop with that. Really?
Yeah. I mean, they've shown interest. Obviously, Edelman was a quarterback. They brought in Terrell Pryor as a free agent last year. Manziel even said, you know, if he was going to switch, he'd try to be a hybrid mix of Amendola and Edelman. He was to make a switch. So if there's no offers out there as an NFL quarterback, he's looking at an XFL QB offer. I'd probably take the receiver role.
Okay. then I'm out. Like, I don't care about Johnny. No, if you want to take a flyer on him as a quarterback, fine. Like, I'm in. We'll give it a shot. I don't need to develop him as a little slot receiver.
No, and I guess the argument for is, hey, if they did it with Edelman, maybe they could do it with Manziel. But please, I mean, he was a seventh rounder. That was just kind of a project thing. Manziel was a quarterback and a Heisman Trophy winner. Like, if you're going to bring him in, I want it to be as a quarterback.
That visited Foxborough in 2014 and gave you a good visit and you liked him. And that was 2000. If we knew then what we know now, what would we have done with that piece of information? Mike Lombardi on that. Very interesting sound coming your way right after this.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Felger. I like anti-coupable. Stupid. They're so stupid.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
To me, the risk has to be low enough to where the reward is great. And if you do your due diligence, you bring him in. We did. When I was in New England, he came in the same time as Jimmy Garoppolo. They came in the same exact time. They spent the same exact amount of time together. They went over the tape. They went through the same procedures that each of them did. And Manziel was really good on his visit. Now, he's gone on to have a lot of problems and a lot of complications afterwards. But I think you have to be able to look at your team and say, we're giving this guy a second chance. And, you know, once he screws up, he's out of here. I think somebody's going to get – this league is too desperate for quarterbacks not to give this guy a second chance. And if he proves what he's saying is real, you know, like if he said, hey, in 60 days, we're going to come back, we'll drug test you, do whatever, and he's clean, he's done it, then I think he'll get a second chance.
Lombardi was there when they interviewed Manziel and brought in Manziel and looked at Manziel. And Lombardi feels like he's in on Manziel. It's this all an off-field thing. Play that second cut, Jimmy, if you could.
You know, to me – I think he could operate. Could he operate in a New England system? Yeah, without a doubt. Could he give a team a dimension? Sure. I think if he's clean, he's worth it. I don't think what happened to him, people are comparing he and Baker Mayfield together. Mm-hmm. They're talking about his character. I don't think what happened to him in Cleveland was he couldn't play football. I think what happened to him in Cleveland was he had issues off the field that affected him from playing football. If you remove those issues from affecting him to play football, I think it's a smart thing to do. If you can understand what you're getting into, that's part of the huge thing you got to do with Johnny Manziel. You got to understand what we're getting into, spend time with them, be around them, and then you're going to have to handle the media attention that's going to come with it. Because let's face it, Manziel signs with an NFL team. You know, here's Sal Palantonio is going to be at their door.
Yeah, it's the Tebow thing.
It's a Tebow thing.
Okay, so which the Pats can handle. Like we're not, you know,
no. That last thing's the easy part for them.
Honestly,
they did it with Tebow.
I'm not worried about his drinking and drugging. Because one drink or one drug, he's gone. So it's not like you have to. It's not like you have to manage him through his problem. If he reverts, it's over. See you later. I'm not worried about the outside distraction thing, the Tebow thing. They handle that better than anyone. Non-issue. The only risk I think is if the guy can't play, you're wasting your time, and then you've spent time on someone that's not worth it, and you could have been spending it somewhere else. That's the only risk. But when Lombardi says, "Could he operate in the Patriots system?" Without a doubt.
It's eye-opening, isn't it?
I mean, again, he was there when they were interviewing Manziel, and he said it. They put Manziel through all the stuff they put through Garoppolo. So they didn't hate Garoppolo when he came through here the first time.
So what I would love
to know, Manziel.
I would love to know is where they had them on their draft board. Did they have Manziel ahead of Garoppolo or behind him?
Right.
Like, I would love to know that. And again, maybe someone will ask Lombardi, but to me, what Lombardi was saying about the makeup thing with Manziel or the off-field issues, to me, this is a great distinction of him from Tebow, because they're often compared to one another because of the style of quarterback they were. Tebow's issue had nothing to do with off-field. He couldn't throw. I mean, it was a football thing that prevented Tebow. So, to me, Manziel is intriguing because I agree with Lombardi. I think any chance he had of being a good football player was derailed by his off-field problems. If you can get him to commit to football, find out. Let's find out. Maybe he can't play. I don't know. But I don't think Cleveland gave you an answer. That's my point. Cleveland did not give you a fair representation of what this guy could be.
And also, there's just sort of bubbling belief, let's just say, that the issues internally with the Patriots have not been settled. There have been conversations. They've talked. Clearly, Kraft and Belichick were on the same page in Orlando. But, you know, Bedard wrote in his notes here coming out of the owners' meetings that according to a source, things are not completely settled between Belichick, Brady, and Kraft, but the hope is that the meeting was a good step in the right direction. Tom Curran also wrote something in the last couple of days to the effect of, they talked, but they didn't really answer anything, and it doesn't feel like there's great lines of communication. It doesn't feel like there's great lines of communication, even though they've quote-unquote talked. And, you know, he gave a great example. But if the lines of communication were so great, how come they had to pull Josh McDaniels off the private plane as he was about to step on it to take that Indy job? Did that feel like there were great open lines of communication there?
No, not even close.
No, I mean, what else is there to say? I mean, just the optics of it alone tell you that it's not everything was all hunky-dory.
Oh, and, you know, add Gronkowski to that list because, again, Bedard says that the big boy, well, he says... Well, here's what he wrote on Gronkowski. This is, again, coming out of Orlando. He spoke to Drew Rosenhaus, Gronkowski's agent, who said he didn't have an update. And Greg writes, "When I told him, all I've heard is that he," meaning Gronkowski, "keeps popping into the facility to work out, and that seems to be a good sign." Rosenhaus hesitated for a second, and then again said he doesn't have an update. Bedard writes that, "I've dealt with Rosenhaus for a long time, and I took his second non-answer as... Rob still hasn't given me any direction yet, so I can't say if working out is a good or negative sign. I also want to know, is he working out at TB12 or at the team facility?" There's sort of a difference there, right? I
mean, sure there is.
He could be working out the TB12 just to get in wrestling shape.
Or movie shape.
Movie shape or whatever, just to be in shape. He just wants to, that's just what he is.
But because it's technically on the grounds, you can be vague and say, "Oh, well, I've seen him around." Yeah, sure.
Is he, you know?
Yeah, he's in Foxborough.
He's in Foxborough. Yeah. So, like, that's always a little... gray area there.
Yeah, he's partying and drinking, but he's in Foxborough.
Bedard writes that Gronkowski contemplating leaving the game has been a serious option. "I continue to hear it's not a contract ploy. That the toll it's taken, football has taken on his body, and the pain he endures has become a serious issue." Bedard even asked various front office executives if they've heard if Gronkowski is on the trade block, including those who could be viewed as Belichick friendly. All of them said they haven't heard a word on that. One Belichick-friendly source agreed with my thinking that once a player makes Belichick start to contemplate life without him, Belichick starts to warm to being without that player. Quote, "He imagines you gone," he said. "The longer Gronkowski goes without saying he's all in, the chances of him being traded increases," the source said. And we played you the cut earlier from Bedard on with us yesterday. You know, Bedard says it's a good possibility they draft a tight end. Still a trade possible. So Bedard has been, you know, firmly in the camp of him coming back is no guarantee here.
I mean, they should draft a tight end. I think they almost have to do it at this stage. You know, Dwayne Allen's not the answer. Hollister is a situational guy. At best, it doesn't feel like he's even remotely big enough to be a blocker. You know, he's more like an Aaron Hernandez build, I think. I haven't looked at the numbers, but that's what he looks like. They have to draft a tight end this draft, I think.
James and Ludlow on the Patriots. Hi, James.
Hi, guys. Felger, I couldn't agree more about everything that's going on with the Patriots. With all the uncertainty going on, it just kind of feels like we're seeing the beginning of the end of the dynasty here.
Okay, so, beginning of the end. Yes, not the end. I firmly expect them to be contending for the Super Bowl this year. Firmly, absolutely, contending for the Super Bowl this year.
Okay, but let me ask you a question, because, again, I feel more negatively about it than you do. That the whole vibe feels... you know, pessimistic to me around the Patriots. Would it surprise you if that was the last Super Bowl for Brady and Belichick?
No, that would not surprise me.
Okay.
So I think we're, you know, that's what, so he says the beginning of the end? Yeah. You know, and I think if they were all on the same page and it was all great down there, the window extends a little bit longer than it's going to. I think Bill's going to step aside sooner than he would. And now Brady, you know, like that whole thing's all up in the air. So I think it's going to hasten the end. But Brady can't walk now. That would be the all-time Ponis move of Ponis moves. Like, you just, there's no way he's going to leave the team that high and dry after all that stuff that happened with Garoppolo and Garoppolo getting, you know, like that's just not going to happen. I can't wrap my head around that belief that that's going to happen. If Brady's here, they're going deep, period. And Bill ain't walking away at this time either. But after this year, I think all bets are off.
I mean, if Brady only gives him one more, King Dink. Seriously, that is the King Dink move of all time.
Rob in Manchester. Hi, Rob.
What's happening, guys? I just wanted to talk about the parallels between the Brady and Belichick as the executive situation with others that have successfully passed the torch. Montana to Steve Young, Felger, you know, Favre into Rodgers, pulled off seamlessly. And to ignore those playbooks that have already been written is foolish. And it's not Belichick at all. You got to think this is coming from somewhere else, because he would yield to that kind of knowledge that has been executed in the past.
So, Rob, I mean, I agree with you. That was the play, to go to Garoppolo. I just don't, and I've disagreed with Maz on this the whole time. Don't act like it's an easy call. Like, how could you not go to Garoppolo there? Well, Brady's the MVP. He's the best quarterback in the league. When they went Montana to Young, Montana had really started to fall physically. He was beat up. When they went from Favre to Rodgers, Rodgers had just thrown an interception in overtime of the NFC Championship game. Now, Favre had a decent year that year, but he wasn't the same player. He wasn't the MVP. He wasn't that kind of guy. Brady's still the MVP. Going to Super Bowls. So don't act like it was such an easy call. It's a hard call. That's why I'm not going to rip Robert for sticking with Brady. I ripped them for not getting more out of Garoppolo. Like, that was mismanaged, man, that you did not maximize that asset and get some real draft capital back here for a guy that you could, simply by picking up the phone, that's the second guess. Going Brady over Garoppolo, hard call.
And I would tell you that even in San Francisco and Green Bay, they were not, quote-unquote, seamless transitions. With Favre, it took forever. I mean, it did. How many years did that go on?
Right.
And then, you know, Rodgers struggled at the beginning. Like, that was not a piece of cake. It wasn't brain surgery, but it wasn't a piece of cake. And San Francisco wasn't much better.
No, it was the same.
And also, Walsh was gone by then.
Yes.
It wasn't Walsh. So he was out. Seifert was in. There were different elements at play. And look, I'll grant you that it's not an easy call. It's easy for me because of the way I think. I also think that it was easier for Belichick than people want to admit. Because Bill...
Oh, no, it's not hard for Belichick.
Bill had done it before. I mean, not with quarterbacks. I mean, he did it with Bledsoe, I guess, if you go all the way back to that. But he didn't have invested in Bledsoe when he had invested in Brady. But to me, that's the part that I found frustrating, is that over and over, the Patriots got rid of a guy too early versus too late. Then it came to the most important position on the field, and all of a sudden, loyalty matters. Like, Belichick had to be beating his head against the wall about that.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. You're listening to Felger and Maz.
Doesn't always have to be ha-ha-hee-hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
4 seconds remaining. He's just going to eat the puck along the boards. And this baby is final. How about a St. Patrick's Day shutout here in Tampa Bay? The Boston Bruins win it 3-0 over the Lightning. And they are now only 2 points behind the division leaders. And they've got a game in hand on Tampa.
And now here comes Tampa, first place in the conference. On the line, first place in the division. That has some impact for the Bruins. You get to avoid Toronto in the first round if that's important to you. And I think even more important is you get Toronto and Tampa to play each other in the first round. And you get that wild card team from the other division. That's just a little easier road. If you think the Bruins need it, then these games are important. But I do expect these games are often tremendous, where they try and set tone for the playoffs, like we're going to meet again. So it used to be you'd get some fights, you'd get some really physical play. You know, this is when you had some Bruins-Montreal yard sales, when they knew they were going to meet each other in the playoffs, and that last game of the regular season was a chance to go. So maybe we get that tonight. They have one more with Tampa as well. So these two games, we'll see. We'll see if they're setting tone for the playoffs.
I mean, I haven't looked. I'm assuming one in each building?
I believe so. So game tonight here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. We'll be talking about it tomorrow. We will wrap up here with your calls at 617-779-0985. Bob in Holliston wants to weigh in on Giancarlo Stanton. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, Maz, I have a serious ethical and moral question for you. If the remains of the Chinese satellite are hurtling towards the Earth and there are two houses and you can only save one house, in one house is your wife and kids, the other house, Giancarlo Stanton wearing just a pair of spikes. Who do you save?
That's a toughie. I got to ultimately save my wife and kids, unfortunately.
What are the Yanks doing today, Mess?
The Yanks are ahead the last time I checked. So they're up 4-0 now in the fifth inning. They took a 2-0 lead early in the game. And again, on a home run by Stanton on his first swing as a member of the Yankees. It was a ball down, middle in, and he hit an absolute freaking spitball into the right field seats. It was an absolute dart of a home run. Just thought I'd pass that along.
What are you doing his next at-bat?
He flew out to center, and then his third time up, he doubled into the gap in left center field. So he's 2-for-3 with 6 total bases and 2 rockets.
You okay?
I'm telling you. Listen, if The Red Sox are going to be good. I don't know if they're going to be great, but they're going to be good. And it will serve everyone in the long term if the Red Sox and Yankees want to go at it a little bit this year. But you are going to regret this for years to come, not going to get this guy.
Okay, so again, I don't know because we have the Sox game on. I don't have the monitor on. But if they're showing the NBC Sports video, it's Maz did a little dance when Giancarlo Stanton hit a home run in his first at-bat. It was during a commercial break at Felger and Maz. And he sort of lost it. So we've been playing that on NBC Sports Boston today. If you're watching on the simulcast, if you're not watching the simulcast, you got to catch up and see this video. It's frankly a little embarrassing, now, I got to say.
Murray, if I could have taken my clothes off, I would have.
Yeah, I got that feeling. Yeah, it always goes from funny to kind of creepy with you and Giancarlo Stanton real fast.
Ben in Dover. Ben Dover. Get it? Go ahead, Ben.
Well, I just wanted to comment on the whole idea that 32 teams are going to watch Johnny Manziel throwing a football and Colin Kaepernick somewhere on his couch. I just think that's ridiculous. I mean, how are you looking at this, what is he, 5'9", 5'10", throwing a football around, and he can't even keep himself together, but Colin Kaepernick takes a knee, and he can't be seen by 32 teams? I just wanted to hear you guys talk about that a little bit.
That's a great point. I'd rather have Kaepernick. I'd rather have Kaepernick. I'd take a shot on Kaepernick any day of the week. And whether I like the guy or not or agree with his stance or whatever, I'm not even talking about that. I just think...
But that year he went to the Super Bowl with that Niners team, he proved with good coaching he can be a pretty good quarterback. He dropped those last couple of years, but he should get another shot.
He proved he could take coaching and hard coaching. And so I would take a chance on that. I like the size better. I like the way he runs better. I like everything better about Kaepernick on the field than Johnny Manziel. Off the field, they both have their issues. Did Kaepernick have, like, organized pro day kind of workouts like Manziel has?
Not that I've read.
You know, I mean, did he do what Manziel did and no one showed up? Or did he just not do what Manziel has done? I mean, Manziel went to the A&M pro day. He had a specific, his own sort of pro day at, was it San Diego State?
Yes, he did it up west.
You know, where he had receivers that he was throwing to and coaches there with him and all of that. Like, it was an organized deal. Has Kaepernick done the same thing? Or has he just had his own private little things that he's put on YouTube?
I have no idea.
Yeah,
no idea.
Workout video shows him preparing for NFL job. He had his own little thing that he put.
Okay, so like that frustrates me. So this is like, I feel like Kaepernick wants it both ways. Like he wants all that sympathy, like the caller just gave him, but he's not really going after a job like Manziel is. Manziel's selling himself. He's going after a job. I don't feel like Kaepernick's really doing that. I think like he's, I don't know. I think he wants it both ways. Like, oh, they're blackballing him. Oh, they won't give him a deal. Oh, they won't give him a chance. Yet he's not really trying.
Yeah, he wants to be the victim.
Yeah.
You're going to have to play ball a little bit. I mean, if you really do care that much about going back into the NFL and being a quarterback in the NFL, you're going to have to go the Manziel route and work for it.
And Manziel's right. And Manziel, good for Manziel. He said, if need be, I'll go to the CFL, which Tebow would never do and doesn't feel like Kaepernick's willing to do. They'd put him in Canada. They don't care about taking a knee in Canada. The whole stadium will kneel. For as far as they're concerned, they could care less.
Well, and they'd both be great CFL players.
Right. They would be great. I agree with you. They'd both be great CFL players. So Manziel's the only one who said he will go to Canada. So, I don't buy the Kaepernick thing that he really wants back in. And maybe I have that. Maybe he has done pro days and people haven't shown up, but it doesn't feel like he wants it like Manziel does. Lou in Fall River. Hi, Lou.
How you doing? Listen, I just wanted to mention something that I don't know if you guys have touched on, but I don't believe Jimmy Garoppolo wanted a contract with the Patriots due to the fact that there was so many problems going on before we even knew about it. So I think Jimmy Garoppolo wanted out.
So I disagree with you, Lou. You know why Jimmy Garoppolo wanted out? Because he wanted to play. That's it. He wanted to play. The whole internal stuff, you know, was partly because of him. Like, it's not like, you know, he wasn't worried about stepping into that stuff because if he had gotten the job, a lot of it would have gone away because Brady would have gone away and Bill would have gotten his way and all of that stuff. And Guerrero wouldn't have been an issue. Like, that would all, no. Garoppolo's not here because he wanted to play and he wasn't going to play. Period. Story over.
Well, I really do. I think it's that simple. He wanted the one thing the Patriots couldn't give him.
Well, we have a couple more minutes and a couple open lines if you want to grab them. 617-779-0985. JT and Jamaica Plain, Johnny Manziel, you want him?
Nah, I would say no. I would say I was listening to Louisville's Pro Day today and watching actually Lamar Jackson with Casario today. Lamar Jackson, it. You know, the next quarterbacks you guys are going to have, like Lauletta and Woodside, they got to be special. If they're not Lamar Jackson special, they should not apply because they're going to have a tough time.
Okay, Lamar Jackson. So Caserio was at Jackson's pro day or a workout today from Jackson?
I gather, yeah. And look, Jackson to me, I admit, he's an intriguing guy to me.
He is.
So, but I want the Patriots to do both. You know, bring in Manziel, bring in Jackson. Let him fight it out, see what you got, create some competition. Because the chances of you hitting it like you did on Garoppolo again are slim. So you know what? If Jackson ends up slipping to you into the second round, whether it's that first pick you have or the one at the bottom of the second, and you want to grab him, maybe he's – I think he's definitely worth – I shouldn't say maybe. Because look, 2 years ago, the kid was off the charts. He had a bad senior year or bad final year. And so you know what? Maybe you can tap back into what he was 2 years ago and see if he can hit on some. Where are you on him? You're the big college football guy, Murray.
Oh, I like him. It was a down year for him. I just I hate the talk of trying to turn this kid into a wide receiver. Again, much like Manziel, Heisman Trophy winner. He proved that he can be a quarterback and, you know, threw for a million yards, and I think he threw for like 30 touchdowns a couple of years ago, the year that he won it. Like, I don't know, take a shot. If you can get him maybe in the – again, I overall don't want them drafting a quarterback, but if you can get him in the fourth round or something like that, sure, bring him in.
Okay. Second or third?
No, I think it's – overall, I don't want them drafting a quarterback, and I think that might be too high for him.
And I hate to keep doing this, but how big is he?
So I think height might be an issue. I think he's maybe 6'1".
I don't want a Whittle guy.
I thought – no, I think he's taller than that.
I don't want a Whittle one.
I looked this up not too long ago. I'm
no shorter than Garoppolo. That was it. That's as low as I'll go. Garoppolo.
6'3".
6'2". So he's 6'3". Okay, fine. I'll take 6'3". We've got Joe in Tingsboro. Go ahead, Joe.
Hi, gentlemen. Good show as usual. Real quick. Have you guys given any thought to maybe putting a poll on in terms of what the fans think about bringing Manziel on board, number one? And number two, I actually think there are two roles that he could play on the Patriots that could actually help Tom out. One is he could be in charge of keeping track of the air and the football. And secondly, if Tom needs to smash his phone with a hammer, I think Johnny would do a good job of it.
Okay, so Johnny can do all the – he could be like the just the guy who does all the dirty work.
Fall guy.
Fall guy.
Yeah, that too. Yeah, fall guy. All right, so maybe that's a poll question tomorrow, Jimmy, on Manziel. I mean, I don't know why. To me, I really don't get why you wouldn't. You know.
Just because you think he's a complete waste of time.
Yeah, so like if you think he sucks so much that he's just not worth your time, then fine. But again, the off-field thing, even the a-hole thing, the Johnny football and the money sign and all that stuff, like – I feel like he's on his best behavior. He's not pulling that crap right now. He knows he has to be because he needs a job.
Belichick will beat that out of him.
Totally.
Like, you know, you start pulling any of that crap, I'll have you on the first bus to Canada, pal. So see you later. To me, it's worth a shot because, again, I think he was so messed up, you know, in many ways in Cleveland that you couldn't get a read. I mean, you couldn't get any sort of assessment at all. He never really got an extended chance at a legitimate operation. Give it a shot. If he screws off, then he's not serious. See you later. Bye. You're done.
Okay. We've got the baseball reporters coming your way at 6. Has Stanton done anything recently, Maz? Because I want to know if you're going to be getting up on your feet at all.
No, what I will tell you is that both the Red Sox and the Yankees are ahead 4-0 by identical scores. Stanton's had a big day, and so has Xander Bogaerts, who's got a couple of doubles and well-struck deep balls that could have been out of the ballpark in a lot of places.
How's our guy JD done?
JD has looked like dog poo. So we'll get to him too at 6 o'clock.
What have you seen, just real quick? Well, just give me a teaser.
So in his last at-bat, to me, there were a couple of pitches that were, you know, middle or out on that part of the plate. And for a guy whose strength is right center field, he looked out of whack. I mean, those should be balls that he can drill that way. And he missed them both, and he missed them both by a significant margin. Not huge, but... You know what? He's just not right. You can see that. I believe the whole right center thing with him. I think that's real. If you watch highlights of him, you can see it. And his swing today does not look like a guy who's driving the ball to right center.
More of that in the baseball reporters off the top of the 6 o'clock hour. The final word comes your way next.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Blend force drama to run him right down their throat.
Felger.
I'm a hypocrite.
Mass.
Who cares?
Felger and Mass. 98.5 The Sports Hub. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Mass's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Mass, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services.
Nobody
beats Town Fair Tire.
No one, Jim.
Nobody. Two pieces of sound here. And the final word today, we'll start with Peter and JP, who called in to talk about a certain Celtics point guard who he thinks is better than Kyrie Irving. Bob Cousy, Dennis Johnson, no. How about this embarrassing answer?
Here's Peter and JP. Hi, Pete.
People are very underrating the skill level of these people that are on the floor. They're all talented, and Semi Ojeleye, Brad Stevens says he's one of the elite defenders in the NBA. They're more talented than people give him credit for. And then one other point, they're going into the next round, and the only difference between their starting lineup, okay, is they got Terry Rozier in place, Kyrie Irving. 80% of Kyrie Irving, Terry Rozier is better than that, much better defensively.
What?
Everybody that Brad Stevens and
repeat that thing. You think Rozier's
are excellent defenders?
You think Rozier is 80% of Irving?
Personally, I think he's a better player, but he's a better defensive player. What he's shown on offense is unbelievable.
Well, let me just stop you there. Rozier is a better player. He thinks Rozier is a better player than Kyrie.
Oh, God, please. That's not even worth dignifying.
Never mind 80%.
No, he's not. That's not worth dignifying, let alone the idea that he's better than Irving altogether.
Irving's twice the player.
Oh, at least. Maybe five times the player for
not
five
times
that league.
The player. Would you stop? Not five times the player.
I'm telling you, in that league, you're either one of, like, the top 5-10 players in the league, or you're just another guy. Like, I you know, you couldn't give me five Roziers for Irving. You couldn't. No way.
That call, though. Man, the Celtics fans, they do it to themselves.
Green teamers, man. They just... Planet Deluja.
Well, and don't, you know, Tice. Don't forget Tice.
Maz, you were obviously pants off for Giancarlo Stanton's Yankee debut today.
Oh, God, just play this again.
And his home run in his first at-bat.
What did Giancarlo Stanton do, Maz?
On an 0-1 pitch, down middle in, he absolutely hit a rocket over the wall in right center field for a home run. Not in his first at-bat as a member of the Yankees, on his first swing as a member of the Yankees.
And right now you're watching Maz's reaction in the studio. I'm reading a commercial, and this is at the commercial break, and this is, I'm finishing up talking about Blue Apron. And if you're watching on NBC Sports Boston, you are embarrassing, dude. Well, what is oh my God! What is the matter with you? Seriously,
I told you this was the guy. It was so blatantly obvious. He's the guy. He's a.
What is the matter with you?
He's a different kind of cat. He's a game changer, man. I'm telling you. It was so obvious, and this one is going to hang over the head of the Red Sox for I don't know how many years.
You are an embarrassment.
He was down 0-1 in the count and hit an absolute freaking scud missile over the wall in right center field.
Back to the phones.
It was an absolute pee that he hit into the seats.
For those not that haven't been able to watch
this, you got to see this.
My favorite is the motion of if you're about to, like... You know, I don't know what you call that.
Sort
it's
of
like
the lasso.
Yeah, the lasso. I'm about to lasso me a cow. Get me a steer is what I'm going to do. But you do it so vigorously. Felger and Maz.